Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Good morning, broadcasting live from DeVille Square, Pensacola Business Radio, and I have in our studio right now a very special guest, Mr. Clay Ingram, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber. Good morning, Clay.
Good morning. Hey, look, I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited about this. Pensacola
twice in one
radio.
Day.
Good to see you for sure. Twice in one day, and the Pensacola Lighthouse where we were this morning is an incredible venue.
Yeah.
I'm glad we both got to be there.
I climbed to the top. I'm telling you,
still out of breath.
It's still out of breath, but I climbed to the top. I had to. 28 years I've lived here, never been in there. So, but Clay, you're here to talk about Vision 2015. I know you guys had a great celebration last night. You had a great turnout. Got to get a lot of the facts and the numbers across the board, which I think was really good for everybody to really see. But let's get into it for somebody who may not understand what Vision 2015 was or is.
I can probably give you some perspective. So first of all, I want to make it clear that I was not in this role as chamber president in 2010. That's when I was first elected to the legislature.
Right.
And so I saw the campaign kick off sort of as an outsider. But the thought was, and I don't want to answer all, you know, all the questions here in one shoot, but, you know, to start at the beginning, the thought was, and I've seen this again in the legislature, is that when an economic development organization tries to go out and do anything of substance with funding, the first thing the state of Florida will ask when they're going to fund a project is, what sort of money or what sort of resources will are the locals going to put into this, or are there matching funds? And so that I think was sort of the thought behind some local businessmen coming together and saying, we need to put together a fund. We need to, as a business community, come together and put together some resources to use when we're going after these big projects. And so that was really plain and simply the thought behind it. And they wanted to put together a real, concise and well-organized plan. They did that. And so the private sector was a partner along with the public sector as well, the city and county and some of the public privates like ECUA were involved too. And so,
which it always seems to work out better that way. I mean, when you've got business owners that are interested and the community that's interested and you can bring them together, obviously the results that we're going to talk about here today, I mean, it's pretty powerful.
That's right. And you're exactly right. I think, you know, if you're a county commissioner or city council member, it gives you more confidence to allocate those funds when the private sector has stepped up and said they're going to participate. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So let's talk about what made them do that. I mean, what were the economic conditions at that time?
Yeah. So again, I mean, you know, going, you know, kind of jumping in the time machine and going back, that was, coming, I guess, sort of midstream of that terrible economy that we lived through. And everybody remembers the public sector was hurting because there, you know, were no tax revenues to fund the programs that were normally funded from transportation projects, programs for the elderly and disabled.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was hurting then. And that was because, you know, the economy was terrible and the private sector, they were having to do the layoffs and the tough decisions.
Sure.
And so, you ask that, and that was probably one of the drivers. I mean, we've seen areas in this region we wanted to improve. But there's no doubt, I mean, that the economy being at that trough was a driver and a sort of, you know, the decision.
Yeah, sort of save yourself, right?
Yeah, pull ourselves up by our bootstrap. Yeah, so I think that really made a difference.
So, I think I've seen this a lot in some of the interviews that we've done here at Business Radio, is we either all sink or we all float. And to watch all of them come together and do this has really been cool. And like you said, you know, when this first came around, you weren't necessarily where you are now. And I'll be honest, when this first came around, I had no clue really what I know now and how powerful it really was. But I'm going to consider the campaign a success, but do you consider it a success?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, first of all, you can look around, and this is kind of a little bit beside the point, but you know, you hear the difference in a recession and a depression. A recession is when your neighbor loses his job, and the depression is when you lose your job. But you know, so many more people now in this community are employed, and then the employment is meaning every job matters. But I mean, you know, the average salary, I know we're going to get into probably some facts and figures later, but the average salary being around $54,000, of the jobs created because of Vision 2015. So it's significant. It's jobs that really will raise the bar in the region and have made a real difference and allowed people to confidently go to work and have jobs that they know they can support their families on.
Well, and then put right back into the community. I mean, look at all the other wonderful things that we have that go on that people now can attend because they have some money to spend or some time and some freedom and some security.
That's right. Yeah. You see the retail starting to thrive, the restaurants and bars starting to thrive, or to come into their own. And there's no doubt if those manufacturing jobs and some of the technology based jobs that came because of Vision 2015 were there. That's where a lot of those people are spending their excess income.
And a lot of people in this building that we're actually in right now are part of that with all the entrepreneurs and the young businesses and the industries that are moving in. So.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Let's talk about, I guess we can get into some facts and figures, but let's talk about some specific improvements that resulted from the campaign.
Employment, that number, the goal was 3,000 jobs and then to be sitting on 8,900. Huge goal.
I'd say that's success.
Absolutely. And of course, the cool part is that it's everyone from, last night at the celebration, I don't know if we would count this enterprise as one, but things are a lot of businesses have come about, but one that was interviewed last night specifically, was Accounting Fly. And they're located at the incubator, where several businesses sort of get their start. Then they graduate and they kind of
move into this building or anywhere else that's being redeveloped.
And so everything from, 3 to 10 jobs in enterprises like that up to the Navy Federal expansion, which at the end of the day will, be a total of 10,000 jobs at that Heritage Oaks campus. So, it's just kind of neat that it wasn't one particular segment of the economy that benefited from this, or just big businesses, or just small businesses. It was everyone. I think that to me spells out the recipe for success.
Yeah, we all sink or we all float. That's definitely it. And you are more than welcome. It is still 2015, so you are more than welcome to count this into the. Right. This year is not over yet, so these numbers can keep going up. So, so we're talking 8,900 total new jobs. You've got. What I see, almost 1,200 that were added into distressed areas. So, I don't know, what's a distressed area? What is that?
So, the state of Florida, to my understanding, identifies areas of economic need, and it's broken down. Certain states have need based on the rurality of the area.
Sure.
Or the county population. And so I think that's spelled out, and forgive me for not having this top of mind, but I think, that's spelled out in federal and state guidelines as to what those boundaries are of economically depressed areas. And so, economy segments too. And so, again, to make this a broad-based effort, the idea was to make sure that we target everyone, we want everyone to benefit, but then specifically the people that need it the most, you want them to have a bite of the apple too.
Yeah.
So that was a concerted effort to make sure that geographically and economically those areas, were able to have prosperity from this effort.
And let's face it, we also know that, the military is a huge part of this town. So obviously some of this impact had to come from them and through them,
right.
Correct?
Yes, and that was one of the stated goals, was to increase anyone who has lived here or grew up here knows the impact of the military, knows that the old saying goes, if Washington DC gets the sniffles, then here in Northwest Florida, we get the full blown flu.
Yeah.
And so, we just inherently know that, but, the goal was to increase the presence of the military, increase the number of commands here, not lose any commands. And so, the proof in the pudding is that, at the start of this campaign, there was a $5.1 billion economic impact here from the military presence, and now it's $7.1 billion.
Yeah.
And those
That's
numbers.
$2 billion.
huge difference. And, you had the introduction of the Air Force at NAS. And so, those numbers, are quantified by the SBDC and by the Haas Center here at UWF, and so they're real hard quantifiable numbers that economists go and try to find, and so that's exciting. I mean, especially knowing that was a stated goal, knowing the impact of the military to the community, and then knowing that we, through this effort had that big an impact.
Right. Well, and I think not only expressing the fact that they have grown and added programs to the base and to the academy, but how much of that growth has actually translated into money spent in the shops, money, you know, the grocery stores, the housing, you know, the property values of things. You know, you say 2.1 or you say 2 billion and some people really don't grasp that, but
that's right.
It is literally, it's a gross regional product. So, I mean, it's not just the base, it's everywhere here in town.
Absolutely. You know, and that's a great point. And that is partially how this was sold as the members of the Vision 2015 cabinet that came up with this idea would go and try to sell their fellow business owners on why they should be a part of the effort. It was broken down to that level. You know, hey, Joe, you own a car dealership.
Yeah.
If we, you know, raise, and then I don't know the qualifier number, but, you know, like obviously, like you said, a $2 billion increase in military
presence. That's enough for it to go around.
You can count on the fact you're going to sell some more cars.
Yeah.
And they actually broke it down to the number of cars that would be purchased based on you know,
yeah.
X number of increase of gross revenue. So, putting it in those terms, I think helps
everybody,
people,
yeah, kind of see
their mind
where they fit into it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So now another piece that I wouldn't even have thought plays a part in this, but you've got graduation rate that has gone up by 10%. I mean, that's a lot,
right? Yeah, and of course to put an asterisk by that. You know, we obviously don't want to stop at a 66%
sure.
graduation rate. Like that still needs to be improved. But it was 56%
right.
in 2010. And so huge improvement. And we should celebrate that. But, you know, again, use Navy Federal as an example. They want to add 10,000 jobs. I think if you're, you know, in management at Navy Federal, you would start to worry, are we going to have the workforce, the
yeah.
trained people, the educated people to come and fill those 10,000 jobs? And so that was certainly part of the campaign to make sure that, you know, we were graduating people from high school and either preparing them to go the vocational route and get certified in some area or, you know, the traditional university route. And so that had to be part of the effort. And it's good to see that we made some gains in that effort, as you know, in that area as well.
Yeah, I think especially with all the industry that we're bringing into the city, that one of the things that I know came up at I-10 Wired when we were broadcasting there and has come up here a couple of conversations is simply that having the skilled workers to fit these new technology jobs, these new industry jobs, things that, you know, 10 years ago weren't even a thought on a school curriculum.
That's right. It's funny you say that. You know, one of the kind of most profound things I heard at the I-10 Wired Summit, it's pretty simple, but, you know, some of these technology jobs that don't require a college degree, you know, but you need some sort of, you know, certification, pay $70,000 or $80,000
yeah.
a year. And I think it was Commissioner Doug Underhill that sort of, I don't know if he coined this phrase or not, but you know, that's the new, you know, I forget the maker model of the car I use, but it's essentially, you know, you're in poverty one day and the next year you could, you know,
yeah,
I can't remember the phrase. It was powerful.
It was the last route of the American dream.
Exactly.
And you're exactly right. You could go from poverty to 80 grand a year in a couple years.
Right. Without having to go to a four-year college. And especially, you know, if you're not interested in the subject matter, it really is, man, you know, soul-killing to go to, you know, I know people that are so smart, so intelligent, but just, you know, sitting in the classroom for 4 years, they're not going to do
yeah.
it. And so, like, how great to have an avenue. And I think I know this has been discussed at the state level. We've done a good job, I think, and we can keep doing this, of taking away the stigma of if you didn't go to college, you know, are not qualified
yeah.
to walk around
yeah.
in the world. You know, so there's well, no shame yeah. in it. You're, you know,
you're, that's
you're,
right.
You're contributing. Like it's as good a track as anything else you can do. And so I'm glad we're moving toward understanding
yeah.
that that's a perfectly acceptable way.
Sure. I mean, look around. And I think the reference that I heard was Bill Gates, and I didn't realize that. Bill Gates had never gone to college, but was smart. You know, look right. at anybody in this tech industry or any large tech company that you've got or you see, or even some of the ones that we have here are being successful and did not have to spend 4 years
right.
sitting behind a desk.
Right. And outside of the technology realm too. And this kind of goes to Vision 2015 and the vocational training and some of those things that were pushed is, have you ever called a plumber on a weekend? They make
yeah.
a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or an electrician. You're like, you're going to have to pay that guy
sure.
a lot of money. And
all valuable services that
absolutely.
We have to have.
Right.
So, well, okay. So, obviously, you've got one big one on here that we all know we're part of, and that's tourism. So, you know, I've watched it recoup after Aaron and Opal because I was here that long. I watched it recoup after Ivan. I watched it recoup after BP. And I think this year, as I was driving out to the beach to enjoy the sun, I really could feel the bounce back.
Absolutely. And the sort of phenomenal thing there is having the, you know, again, multi-million dollar increase in revenue. But thinking that the oil spill happened in that time frame too.
Yeah.
So like we made that jump, pretty phenomenal jump. And then it happened, you know, when there was a pretty terrible,
sort of like midstream, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it makes it even that much more impressive, and a lot of hard work by a lot of people. Steve Hayes, and you know, you probably know him from Visit Pensacola, but mm-hmm. he works closely with Will Suckham at Visit Florida, is very well connected. And then this almost sounds like common sense, but I don't think some people get it. When we advertise now, I mean, we as a community,
sure.
through Steve, he's very strategic about how he goes and advertises. He obviously advertises outside of this market.
Right.
Know, growing up here, I remember seeing ads for Pensacola in Pensacola, and
That was
strike
it.
Me like, you know, like, hey, what, we're wasting our dollars.
Yeah, we're already here.
Yeah, he understands. I mean, it's common sense, but he understands it and is advertising in the markets that, you know, where the population is likely to come and vacation here or visit here. And we have so many things who obviously the beaches are the draw, but then the cultural and historic tourism is going to grow and grow. And
yeah.
There will be that continued focus there. But the proof in the pudding is that some things are being done right.
Yeah. And I think you said it that, you know, for, and this may be common sense too, but I don't think a lot of people realize it, but you know, the beaches get to be the draw for the tourism and stuff, as well as, you know, things at the Naval Academy and the other fun things that we do, the baseball stadium and things like that. But when you talk business and getting commerce into here, the way of life I have found has been the draw.
Yeah, right.
I mean, let's face it. It's, to me, it's island time,
right?
You know,
I love this sort of phrase that Steve Hayes uses is you bring people here in a bathing suit and they want to come back in their business suit,
yeah.
and live here and do business here. And it must be working because the numbers tell the tale.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I know you guys, obviously when you start increasing business, you start increasing commerce, the membership of the chamber goes up, but
right.
not every business joins the chamber. And I am here to contest, join the chamber because it is just, it's beneficial for your business, big or small, private or public. It's a way to go. I mean, I got to hang out at the lighthouse this morning because of it. So
right, that's right. Hey, look, I'm glad to hear that. Obviously, as the president of the chamber,
yeah.
that you feel like your membership is valuable. And I absolutely believe that's true. And we provide that traditional business development, small business development avenue with networking opportunities. We have our advocacy arm that goes and lobbies on behalf of our businesses now in front of the local governmental bodies, yeah. which we couldn't do prior to not taking public money because if they didn't like what you were criticizing them for, they could cut the purse strings.
Yeah.
And then being the liaison with the military, the official liaison with the business community and the military is a huge part of what we do. But to get back to your point, didn't mean to get off track there, but it takes, obviously, we have people that go out and actively try to get the people to join the chamber, but you wouldn't see that number, you know, from around 1,000 up to 1,300 members now if it wasn't for the fact that the economy was turning around.
Sure.
Vision 2015 playing a big part of that. And then, you know, there are more businesses viable and have the income to be able to
right.
purchase a membership. And so,
and it also allows you guys to give a lot more worth to that membership, I
absolutely.
Think. You know?
Yes.
Where do we go from here, man?
So I think the absolute worst thing we could do is to rest on our laurels.
Yeah.
So the economy's turned around, at the state level and national level too. I think we've had a sort of a dramatic, difference here because there was a concerted effort to do that, to not just ride the coattails of the state and national turnaround. But yeah, the worst thing we could do is sit on our laurels. And so, the thought is we need to not sit around and just enjoy success. Certainly celebrate it and realize that.
Yeah,
that
which we did last night. So
right.
now it's back to work.
Absolutely. That an effort can work and it's important to recognize that. But to get back and see where the areas of need are now. And that's what we'll do over the next couple of months is to sort of once again analyze where the areas of need are
right.
In the community with regard to industry sectors. What industries do we want to target? What areas do we want to, you know, through the next effort,
sure.
try to raise the boats in and then come back and go at this again with as much gusto as we did in 2010. Yeah. I say we, but I mean that there'll be largely that same group of businessmen and women that put this together. That'll obviously play a part going forward. But to bring them a plan and to make sure they know where the areas of need are, right, and where we ought to attack this.
Do you see it as another 5-year plan, or do you think that this is something that needs to be longer?
I think it needs to be somewhat of a continue. This is just off the top of my head without any research. This is just looking at the 2015 program, but maybe beneficial to look at the situation long term. I don't know, 5 to 10 years, but then to break up the funding maybe into shorter segments where
so you can get some targeted,
correct, annual campaign or maybe 3-year campaign. But the time frame is an area we need to analyze. Again, I don't have the data yet, but to see if that time frame was right. I think that is one of the a critical area to look at to see if we need to tweak the commitment length.
How do people get involved with this if they want to? Like, let's say we, and I raise my hand as I say this, but let's say we missed the first round. How do we jump in?
So call us on any subject matter, but you know, obviously you can go to our website, PensacolaChamber.com. I think it's /impact is specifically the PensacolaChamber.com/impact. I think specifically is the landing page for the vision campaign, or call us at the chamber, 438-4081.
Yeah, chamber. You know your number, not the one at the front desk.
so call us or email or go to the website, and that's a great way to see what it's about. And then, you know, obviously we should by today should have the updated numbers posted with regard to the success of the last campaign. So that should give some confidence to people that want to be a part of the next one.
And we'll keep this interview on our website with all the links to it as well, so they can find it through Pensacola Business Radio. So, you know, I know you're a busy man, and I know you've got places to be and things to do, but is there anything else that you can think of that we know we need to touch on from this?
No, I think, you know, again, looking back to last night and the to celebrate the success of Vision 2015, another thing it does for me is just sort of makes me realize in a tangible way that there are a lot of people that care about others in this community. I think that when you boil it down, it comes down to the fact that some of the haves wanted to make sure that the fellow members of their community, like, had someone looking out for the economy and wanting everyone to have the chance to have a job and to work. And that was sort of that, when you boil it down, that was the point of people caring for people and pushing their fellow, business owners, companies to give to the effort. So that makes you feel good about this area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can echo that, because doing some of the things that we've done, and I keep doing I-10 because that was obviously a large event, but we had people coming from out of state and out of region that were so admirable for how the communities were coming together and how every business was wanting the other business to succeed, because we were all finally kind of getting it that, you know, we're all going to make this happen and we're all going to do this together. So, you know, bravo and congrats.
And thanks for having me on today. If I can ever be helpful again, this is an exciting venture in itself, the Pensacola Business Radio. And if I can ever help with this.
Yeah, well, I went ahead and lined you up for the rest of the year. Rebecca didn't tell you yet.
I'll look at the calendar and see that when I get back. So. Thank you again. I wish you the best of luck, and I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So if you want to find us or get some more information and hear this interview again, we are at PCola Radio X on Twitter. We are Pensacola Business Radio on Facebook, or you can join us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Clay, thanks for coming in.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.